Welcome to the Sports Brewery Podcast. I'm Alex Braga. Do you like free t-shirts? Do you like gambling? You can join us on the show this season and pick Pac-12 football games with us. All you gotta do to get in on the action is to hit us up on Twitter, at Jeromney, at TSB Ski, or at TSB Pod. Never let me die on a regular hill.
So how are we feeling with the election? Because that has finished?
I mean, you tell us. You've been the negative Nancy this whole time.
I know. I'm like, here's where I'm at. I'm like biggest pessimist on the face of the earth, as we all know. But even I'm like, Biden won those states by so much that, like, even if you're doing a recount, like, it's over.
It's over.
It's over. Yeah, like, you gotta call this one. Like, in the states, like, Trump is suing or whatever, like, even if he overturns those states, it's still not enough electoral college votes to actually win. Like, it's over. So, I don't know. I was just seeing where you guys were at, because you know me.
It's over. Right. You know, tonight they officially called Arizona. Yeah. You know, officially it's
like my friend on the wall. If you're a Republican and you're losing Arizona and Georgia, it's an L. Like, it's an L.
I know I had two friends that on Tuesday night, kind of when things like really shifted towards Trump, mm-hmm. like everything started looking good, they both bet Biden to win.
Ooh.
Getting almost 4-1 odds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which in hindsight is like,
of course.
That's a great bet. If you,
mail-in votes, like, of course.
If you listen to kind of what was going to happen, that was a brilliant bet by them.
Yeah.
Because you could have handcuffed it too. You could have bet Trump to start getting plus money, wait for him to get the lead, then you bet Biden plus money and you're guaranteed to win money.
I love what we're talking about right now. Like the betting of the election. Well,
I follow a bunch of bettors.
Do you?
Twitter.
That's the least surprising shocker, you've ever right? said. Yeah.
And one of the guys, he cleaned up on Trump last year. Mm-hmm. So he had a whole thing where he was going with like how the live betting was going, and, you know, and it started ticking down to Trump, you know, whittling it down until he actually became the favorite. And that this guy was like, oh, the election's over. Trump wins. Cause that's what happened against Hillary 4 years ago, mm-hmm. was that he slowly trickled down to being of course, this is all just, it's betting. So it dictates by who's putting money and not like,
right.
who is going to win.
Right. Yeah. They're not actually counting the votes in.
Yeah. It's all betting lines, right? It's all based on that.
So I didn't know if it was a bunch of just, you know, hard MAGA people that are like, there's no way Trump's going to lose. So they hammered, you know, like their mortgage on the line.
Totally.
Or if they're like you, so many pessimistic Dems that are like, you know what? There's a chance Trump's going to win. So I'm going to bet money to win. So it, you know, I come out on top either way.
Thank you for not calling me a lib and calling me a Dem. I'll take that. It's small victories.
But going back to election night, you know, 10 days ago or whatever,
yeah.
there was that like 1 hour period of time where shit got really dark, because if you were online, you saw the betting odds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which meant Trey Clavis and Darren Revelle were like, well, shit. Look at this. Trump's, you know, minus 420. Oh, it's over. And then you got to see, like, David Portnoy do a 5-minute video.
Ooh.
It's over. Trump wins. Told y'all. That was a very dark hour in America.
Was that right around when Florida was, like, you know, Biden had a small lead in Florida, then it, like, started going hard
yeah.
towards Trump right in that time, too?
Yeah. It was. Woo!
That Portnoy video, like in hindsight, like looking back at it now, or like even like a week later, I think you posted it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like after Biden started actually, like the mail-in vote started coming in, Biden started getting more votes and then looked like he was going to take, it was Arizona first. And then Pennsylvania started to turn and Georgia started to turn. And you're like, oh, okay, this is actually going to be a pretty big win for Biden probably. And then you post that Portnoy video and it's like, oh man, this is sad for you. Like, this is sad for you that you like posted this video. Like, I know you're like, you're still going to be who you are. Like big Trump guy, everybody on the right's going to love you anyways, but like, this is not a good look. Like this is why you don't post those things on day one of an election where you're mailing in votes, where like half the country mailed in their votes.
I will give him credit though. He did tape a mea culpa. He did. So he was wrong. Underestimated mail-in votes. He was wrong.
Unlike Trey Clavis.
Yeah, unlike Trey. Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
And by the way, good for him. Like, good for all of those guys finding their way into the White House. Like, they have no business being in the White House at any point. Clay Travis interviewing the President of the United States of America?
I mean, like, in fairness,
I'm saying good for them. Like, hey. Well,
sure, it's good for business. But, I mean, it was like the one president in American history where, like, you can get the fringe bloggers just to come right in.
Can you?
Well, when you need election points, you're like, I need a bump.
I'm like, hey, y'all want to, like, turn some libs. Come on, Trump, let's go.
Why are we not rebranding the Sports Brewery podcast Sports Brewery website?
There you go. Well, let me cut you off there because the website doesn't exist and hasn't for several years. I was thinking about that, by the way. Like, if you're finding these boxes of shirts, like, let's bring that website back and start selling some shirts from 2012. Like, let's go. Make that money, dog. Shall we just get into the Ducks? I mean, I can't think of anything else to talk about. It's like politics and Ducks, right? I mean, they just announced the MLB awards, but like...
Sneakily, the NBA drafts in like 5 days.
Yeah, that's a thing. But we can talk about that afterwards. Because what are the Blazers going to do? Like, draft another random...
King had a brilliant idea today, I saw. Player.
Okay, what you got?
which idea was this?
Yeah, please tell Russell, King what his idea is.
The Blaze getting Russell Westbrook.
Oh well, no, it's not a brilliant idea.
I know, obviously not.
It's just on brand with 2020 because everything sucks. So somehow we're gonna get Westbrook and Dame. And what would be the worst part about that? So
okay, no, what? Tell me what the deal is.
I don't know what the deal is yet. I'm not a capologist. I'm just saying.
So they would trade for Russell Westbrook or
no,
what?
No, Westbrook wants out.
He wants out, yeah. Uh-huh. He's leaving Houston.
Harden kind of wants out too, it sounds like, as well.
So because this year sucks. But McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic aren't exactly getting Harden. Let's just be honest here.
Sure.
So we're going to get Westbrook somehow because everything sucks.
Yeah.
And it's going to be brutal. And then Westbrook and Dame are going to be like a really beautiful, like buddy-buddy, like movie.
Savage NBA players.
It's going to suck.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get any further than they do now, but.
Yeah. I love that we're on the heels of talking about like Biden winning the election. You're like, it's 2020. Everything sucks.
Well, I mean, we want to be honest.
Again,
I mean,
again, we have talked about this several times now. We are rebranded to,
I'm not saying I voted for Biden because he's the optimum candidate. I'm not going to say that.
Right. For sure.
He was sticking
with the whole 2020 thing. How about
you're a Tulsi Gabbard guy.
The White Sox hire La Russa, then he immediately gets popped with a Dewey and drops of like, look at my ring, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, do you know who I am? Exactly.
He, how old is Tony La Russa? We talked about this, right?
I think he's 74.
74. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's right. Cause it's the 2020 is the year of the 70 somethings, right?
Yes. So he is, yeah, like 4 years younger than the president-elect.
Exactly.
And he's too old. Tony La Russa is too old to run a baseball team, but we just elected someone 4 years older to run a country.
Yeah, yeah.
God bless America.
Is this one of those deals where it was like W, but W is not actually the one running the show? Is this going to be one of those deals where it's like Biden is elected, but Kamala Harris is
really a puppet regime? I think you're calling a puppet regime.
Yeah, there's definitely those memes going around. There was that one where it was like Kamala pushing Biden in the wheelchair and then pushing him off the mountain or whatever. I could see that a little bit. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, but La Russa getting a Dewey at 74 is pretty impressive. Like, and by the way, who he is, his whole argument, it's like, do you know who I am? Yeah, you're 74, bro. Like, and Uber exists. Like, what are you doing, you fucking moron? Anyway.
What I don't understand about his latest Dewey is, at 0.9, how are you so faded that you drive into a curb hard enough to, like, light your car on fire and just stand around it and be like, oh, I'll just call AAA.
Yeah.
Well, he probably weighs, like, 130 pounds. You know, that old person, like, wrinkly skin and shit.
That's true.
Into your body.
He's like the professor in Futurama. He's just kind of shuffling around, like, takes like one shot of whiskey and he's done.
And he's got to go coach a bunch of Latin American players. And
what I loved about, again, like what he was saying to that police officer, he's like, I'm a Hall of Fame baseball person, okay, and I was just having dinner with people from the California Angels. Tony,
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
I haven't been to California Angels in like 25 years. That's flag number one.
Do they still have Nolan Ryan as their pitcher?
Is Chuck Finley still taking the bump?
Right.
With JT Snow, Darren Erstad.
Speaking of bumps, if we're talking about the 80s.
Jim Edmonds. Like, let's go.
How much was his accident / DUI? Him being drunk or him just being 74 driving a car? Like, how much, like, the combination of the two is just asking for an accident.
Absolutely.
Like, you just you pull out of the driveway and, like, if you make it past 5 minutes on the road without driving into something, it's a miracle.
He was driving around, you know, just furious that Jim LaFever pulled out Chuck Finley in the fifth inning, you know?
Yep.
I told him to bat Tony Phillips number one.
And then the cop who pulled him over, he's like, sure thing, Grandpa. Chuck Finley. Yeah, that sounds like a real player. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the California Angels. All right, come on this way. Yeah.
Sure. You're telling me a 5'10", 150-pound white guy is playing in the bigs nowadays?
Like, yeah. You,
an outfielder.
You just ask. You ask Carty Lansford who I am. You ask Carty Lansford about Tony La Russa, and he'll tell you I'm a Hall of Fame baseball player.
Do you know Jim Abbott? He only had one hand.
I used to know Dave Stewart. I'm just throwing that out there. Dave Stewart.
Sure thing, Grandpa. Pitcher with one hand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on.
Eck. Let me tell you about Eck.
Hang on, I gotta spit. I'll be right back.
Walter Weiss.
you keep naming a whole bunch of A's. You keep naming a whole bunch of A's players. Stay on topic. He's going back. We're talking about the Angels.
No, that was just one part of his thing.
Terry Steinbach. Let me tell you about Terry Steinbach.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. No, I could name all the A's players all night long if you want to do that. Actually, we've pretty much already named all of them. So we're done. All right, Ducks. Let's talk Ducks. Did you guys watch the Stanford game? I'm just kidding. Of course we watched.
I mean, I had it on.
Yeah, yeah. No, I watched the highlights a whole bunch just because it was interesting because, you know, as much as we talk crap about the season actually happening, which it shouldn't. I mean, the season shouldn't be happening. We keep having all these cancellations throughout the country, like even in the Pac-12. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. But actually having a Duck game happen and, you know, it was nice. Like, and, you know, I pull up YouTube and it's like, you want to watch the Oregon-Stanford highlights? Yeah, I do. Like, I know I just watched the game, but it's like, hey, like, we actually have some Ducks to watch. And so it was nice actually watching the Ducks play. It was nice actually having the Pac-12 back again, even though it was like half of the Pac-12 because of COVID, but whatever. But yeah, and, you know, actually having some new unknowns to actually watch and analyze is actually nice. So I guess thoughts on Shuck.
Kind of
a mixed bag. I mean, it was his first game. He made like the horrible interception. Like, that was a terrible throw, but
he had like two other terrible throws that should have been picked.
Sure. Sure. But, you know, first actual start, first, you know, full-time game, and he did play the entire time. And I thought he, like, his ability to throw the ball deep was great. You know, the throw to Pittman where Pittman made the one-hand catch, which he didn't really have to do. He could have easily reached out with two hands and caught it, but that's who he is, I guess. That was a great throw. You know, the
– he had a really bad deep throw to Johnson, though.
Yes, yes, that is true.
Johnson caught it, but it was like,
well, really, no. So really, the one you're talking about, the one up the right sideline, right? Like near the
end. Yeah, it was underthrown by like.
It was an underthrow. I'll say there's value to the underthrow.
No, let's not do that. Let's not. When you beat a guy, yeah, let's not do the value of the underthrow.
Hit him in stride in the end zone for a touchdown.
That's all Drew Brees is saying now. I'm just throwing the underthrow balls.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Crafty. He's crafty.
This wasn't a throw to the you know, the outside shoulder at the pylon. This was just
that is.
I just underthrew it a little bit,
and it worked. So I guess you can't be too pissed off. I thought the runs were the most impressive thing because let me preface everything here because I said this on Twitter too. Stanford is terrible. Like they do not have good players. Like
the offensive line is good.
Offensive line is okay. It's average. I would say it's average. And I would say their running back, who I can't name now,
Austin Jones,
is average. He's average. They were screwed over because of the COVID thing. So their starting quarterback, who they had planned for, all of a sudden last minute couldn't play. That sucks. And that's gonna make you struggle right out of the gate. I totally understand that. But you know, their defense isn't good. The quarterback they did have isn't good. The receivers aren't good. Like they just don't have athletes.
I will say that if you open up an Athlon or a Street and Smith, mm-hmm, they will tell you that Stanford's wide receivers are either in the number one or two group in the league. I'm just throwing that out there. So I'm just
saying. Their number one receiver was out too. So
yeah, well, I'm just saying.
So the players who played against Oregon were not good. And so that is going to help Oregon just in general. But I thought Shuck, like the runs he made, the plays Moorhead called, were good and he executed them well. The runs, like the run where he like, you know, cut back and then ran across the field, you know, that's not something I think anybody expected him to be able to do. You know, just from what we'd seen of him and, you know, the little bit we saw of him last year, he's a pocket passer. So those are not plays we expected. Like the touchdown run that Moorhead called near the end zone where he fakes to the right, cuts back around the guy to the left. One, you go against a team with athletes, that play's not going to happen because he's going to get tackled in the backfield. But two, like Moorhead called it, Shuck made a great move and scored, like walked into the end zone. And so that kind of caught me off guard.
Well, here's the devil's advocate to his rushing attack is how many of those plays were designated him running compared to, because in the first half, if they were true read options, mm-hmm. he missed about four or five that he should have kept himself.
Yes.
Stanford was literally just, you know, coming straight downhill at the running back every play. Mm-hmm. He just kept handing it off, and there's a huge gap to the left.
That's something we talked about with Herbert last year too, though. Yeah. You know, like, because, you know, Herbert keeps, you know, even half of those plays that looked like read options that probably actually weren't read options. He walks into the end zone half.
Little difference of a top three pick. Yeah, kind of guy.
Last year they were definitely not true reads.
I don't think they're trying to save Shuck here for the, you know.
Well, different play caller too. So
yeah, well, like I said, I don't know if those are actual true read options or not. Mm-hmm. But if they were, he made a lot of mistakes with that.
Mm-hmm. See, my thing with the Ducks, and I'll probably just be a pest on this all year, and that's fine.
Like a month and a half.
I think they could still go 6-0 or whatever it is. Yeah. Like, I still think they could do it. But when I just watch them on offense, mm-hmm. I'm like, wow. I'm just talking eye test. Mm-hmm. They don't look elite at quarterback.
No.
I see them hand the ball off to the running backs and go, those don't look like college football playoff type running backs.
Yeah.
I see them throw the receivers and I'm like, Johnson and Pittman are nice. Like, they are. They're
yeah.
good.
They're also like 5'10".
But they're not what you see at Clemson or Alabama.
They're not fast. Yeah.
I'm having like a weird, and again, like I said, I preface this. I'll be a pain in the ass on this.
Yeah.
I know that Mario is recruiting like elite. He's recruiting elite. I get it. I just can't. I'm just not seeing it at those positions I'm used to seeing. Not that we're used to elite wide receivers at Oregon,
right?
But at running back and quarterback, we're used to a certain type of body, mm-hmm. and it's just weird seeing these guys still here. Like,
yeah.
Odell again? Die.
Travis Dye. Like, Travis Dye still doesn't really make sense to me. And it's weird because he had, you know.
Absolutely.
That run, like, the spin move in the open field is sick. Like, not a lot of guys can make that run. And his touchdown run where he, like, powered through the guy at the end, that's a great run.
Right.
But I see your point. He's, like, he's 5'9", like, 170 when he's soaking wet. Like, that's not – like, so Alabama, for instance, when you think of Alabama, you think of those elite wide receivers. You know, they had Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs last year. You know, just down the line, Ridley before that, Julio Jones before that. Like, Oregon has not had that guy. Like, the guy who is, like, 6'2", 6'3", elite speed, and, like, obviously the route running and all that stuff that goes with being a good wide receiver. Oregon has not had that guy, and they don't have that guy right now, like, to your point. They might have that guy next year or the year after because they're apparently recruiting all of the 5-star wide receivers in the country right now. But it's, like, to your point, it's not there right now. So I see what you're saying.
And I think Moorhead will be able to scheme around a lot of deficiencies. So I'm not trying to sit here saying they're bums and the offense is going to be trash.
Yeah.
It's just visually, it's just a one game. That's all I'm saying. It was just a weird watch. Because even last year, with a lot of the same characters, mm-hmm. you had Herbert back there, who we all had our issues with, which are probably a lot of Marcus Arroyo issues at this point. I think we can tell by his NFL playing that he was pretty good. We just didn't unleash him. But it's visually, it was just weird. Mm.
And I honestly thought coming into the game that Devin Williams was going to be more of that, because he's the transfer from USC. He is that size. He's got like the size, the, you know, whatever, but you know, he obviously isn't good enough to play in front of, you know, Pittman and Red. By the way, I like Red a lot.
Red looked good.
I like Red a lot. He is really quick. He makes plays. He is just super small. Like, he is a tiny, tiny human being. But all he does is make plays, so you can't really fault him. But, again, I thought Williams, like, with his size, was going to come in and kind of be that guy that we're talking about. And he looks slow. Like, exceedingly slow. Like I thought the tight end, like DJ Johnson looked good. DJ Johnson looked quick and like powerful and all that stuff. And he looked faster than like Williams did. And so obviously Williams is not going to be that guy, you know, that like Addison, who like Brian Addison or whatever, who like you look at him physically and he's like, man, he should be really good. He's not good enough to even play right now. And so I don't know what the answer is. I guess you're just going to have to hope that Shuck continues to get better as the year goes on. And those wide receivers make enough plays to get you to 6-0 and get you into the championship game, which should honestly in this conference this year, like should not be that difficult. Like it really shouldn't. Like, especially when we're talking about the North. Like I don't think the North, like just looking at it right now, the North is not that good. And the teams in Oregon's schedule just aren't that good. So Oregon should be able to just handle business with the players they have. But in terms of like getting into the playoff and winning, like beating Clemson.
No,
Notre Dame. By the way, like props to Notre Dame for what they did to Clemson. That was fantastic. Like that was an amazing football game to watch.
Well, it took that not having their quarterback, and I think like eight players got hurt in that game. Yeah. I don't think they had a linebacker at the end.
Yeah,
it's weird because that kid is good, by the way.
Oh, like, yeah.
Clemson's quarterback, he is really fucking.
What's his name?
Oh yeah, you're gonna make me do that.
You're gonna try to pronounce it?
Yeah,
I actually had it. I actually had it the other day, and now that you're asking me, forget it.
Ski.
I'll just butcher it too.
Yeah. No, you got it. It's definitely got that sound. It's like the Tagovailoa thing. Like you think it's like Tagovailoa, but it's not.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei.
Lele. You gotta go Lele. It's not Lele.
Uncle Lele. Yeah. Star Lotulele.
Yeah.
Mario Top. Yeah, we spoke to his mom before the game. That's how she told us to pronounce it. That's like the most embarrassing thing in Joe Tessitore's career.
Maybe getting fired from Monday Night Football after like 16 months was a little.
Worse. That might not be his fault. Like, I feel like Booger kind of dragged down.
And Witten.
Booger and Witten.
With the best,
All right, little quick thing before we go back to the Ducks here while we're on announcers. Do you see the Blazers are officially hiring Kent?
I did see that, yeah.
Do the play-by-play?
Good for him.
Am I allowed to not comment on that?
Good for him.
You already have. We know your stance on that.
Yeah.
He's okay.
That's just, I mean, that's small town.
It's a Blazer hire. It is what it is. Good guy. No disputing that.
Amazing.
Him and Lamar Hurd, great humans.
Amazing. Like I said, absolutely.
I think you can't have those two together, I don't think. That's the problem.
All right, fuck it. He is exceedingly bad at play-by-play. Like, he's terrible. Like, he is a great human being. He's great in studio. Like, I like the way he hosts the show in studio. Like, that's what he should be doing. Play-by-play basketball, you need personality. And he does not have personality. Like, he you could tell he was trying really hard during the, during the COVID games and stuff. Just coming up with phrases and catchphrases and stuff like that. That's fun. I like that he's putting in the work. That's great. But he is the most vanilla announcer you will ever hear in your life. And going from what the Blazers have had with Brian Wheeler, who I maintain is the best radio play-by-play person I've ever heard in my life. Like he is incredible at that job.
Calabro and Mike and
Calabro. Yeah, Calabro, like, you know, people were kind of like not high on Calabro, but
I was out on Calabro.
But Calabro, like, at the very least, he had what you need to have as a play-by-play guy, which is like the energy.
No, he has it.
Yeah.
He just didn't have it for the Blazers because he's a Seattle guy.
Oh.
I mean, he lives in Seattle still. He helicoptered into the Rose Garden every night, or Moda Center.
Right.
He just didn't have the juice.
Was he going? So he was like Kawhi Leonard status?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he never moved out of Seattle.
Kevin Calabro has a helicopter?
Well, I mean, it was either that or a private jet. They flew him down every night.
That's wonderful.
Good on him. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
This guy's probably got a mansion on Bainbridge Island, you know, taking Paul Allen's private fleet every night. But he just wasn't committed to Portland. I never bought it.
Yeah. Well, clearly, that's why he's not still there.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't want to be there anymore. And so he's like, okay. Like, he's had a good enough career to where he doesn't need to do anything anymore. And so if you're not into it and you're having to travel from home every game, like, forget it. Why do it?
In fairness, he probably flew from Seattle to Portland quicker than if he had driven from Wilsonville to the Moda Center every night. That's probably a little quicker.
Could you imagine driving that, like Portland and Seattle? Like, no. just with the way the construction is always happening there, it's like it's an 8-hour drive, essentially. It's terrible. Like, you would kill yourself after a month of the season, basically.
Yeah.
You'd, like, end up on the side of the – you'd La Russa that shit. End up on the side of the road. You would light your own car on fire. It's like, I'm done. Okay, so back to the Ducks.
What'd you guys think of – the freshman linebackers.
Yeah, because Flo started, but then Sewell played way more. Like Flo essentially started and then didn't really play much past the first quarter. It didn't seem like
I didn't hear him think if he got hurt or something. Yeah, because he had
one full possession at the end of the third, one full possession at the end of the fourth, or the beginning of the fourth, and then he played a couple of plays in the fourth.
Yeah, so we definitely saw more of Sewell, and Sewell.
I don't think I heard Flo's name called.
So Sewell, they looked like freshmen in that they were doing a lot of things freshmen do, like just guessing, seeing a play and then running really fast where you think the play is going to go and it's not actually going to be there. Like something that Troy Dye did really, really well. Like he wasn't the biggest physical guy. He had speed, obviously, and like hit like a motherfucker. But he would read the play so well. Like his anticipation of where a play was actually going to end up was so good. And then his ability to like actually, like even when he did mess up, his ability to make up for it like with recovery and his recovery speed was like elite. Like that's why he's in the NFL right now. It's, you know, because when he's like a 200-pound linebacker, like that's how he's in the NFL. It's because of that. Like Sewell and Flo have all the physical tools. Like their brains just are not there yet.
And well, it was the first two plays for Sewell. The first one shoots the wrong hole. They got a 15-yard run. Yep. Next play shoots the hole correctly this time and blasts the dude, you know, in the backfield.
The touchdown run by Stanford early, that is 100% that. Because literally they just ran the play to the outside and they're diving out of windows like in the wrong hole. But you know, that's shit that you get better at as you watch film and watch and, you know, learn from mistakes and play more games. Like, unfortunately they only have seven, maybe eight, who knows, this season to actually learn that. That's something as a freshman you get better at later in the season. But they're just not going to have much of a season. Like Thibodeau last year, you know, the first half of the season, he didn't do anything. And then once he figured out how to play college football, he was dominant. So we'll see. Like you saw flashes, especially with Sewell.
Oh, Sewell showed flashes. I mean, I don't remember the names, but he had like those NFL draft Nick accounts putting up highlight films of him. Saying he's raw as hell.
Duplexing people.
Just But even just blowing up the center, like, I don't know what Stanford center's name is. Sewell just blew him up, like, four times.
Yeah.
Like, just destroyed him.
Yes, yes.
And that's why, but, like, what we've been saying is that's why we're not going to see Sewell and Flo at the same time for
right.
a while. Because yeah. they're going to need Isaac Slade, or this Drew Mathis guy, who I still not sure if that's a real player. I just know the name.
That's like the player created, like, you know, like Matt. It's like, Drew Mathis, here you go.
I didn't know that name until, like, last week.
Yeah.
I was like, who the hell is this guy?
He's the NCAA, like, recruited player. Like, you recruit him out of Georgia, Drew.
He doesn't have a profile picture, just an outline of a player.
Totally that. I do look forward to seeing what they turn into.
They'll be good.
The thing is, it's all for next year, you know. That's all this is, essentially, is for next year.
And Lenore was graded out as, like, one of the best DBs in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was, like, four targets, zero catches, breakup, you know.
Yeah. Getting him back, because they're not going to test him. They're gonna go right a whole bunch.
And Wright had a pretty rough game.
Yeah. He didn't have a great game. He had a couple of good plays. He's one of those guys who over time is gonna realize that you cannot rely on your athletic ability to be a good corner. Like if your aspirations are the NFL, it's all footwork, it's all positioning, it's all like looking at body positioning of the guy you're going against and anticipating where he's gonna go. Because, like, you could like, the play he got beat on, like, again, Stanford's best receiver in that game, he's not actually a good receiver. He plays wide receiver for Stanford. You're going to go against way better players as the season goes on, and you're not going to be able to rely on letting him run by you and then using your speed to catch up to him because you're that much better of an athlete. Like, so – as the season goes on, he's got to figure out that that's not the way you can go through life as a football player and be successful. And
fine. He's going to be fine.
He is very good. He's very talented.
Just had a
– yeah.
That was just his first start.
Yes.
And the first game where he was just a definitive weak spot according to the opposing offense.
Yeah, they were going
– we're just going right at you. We're just doing it. We're just going.
Which was interesting. Like, it's an interesting move by Stanford because he is really good. But clearly they did their homework.
Well, you mean you wouldn't be surprised if he gives up, you know, 6 to 7 catches a game, but he'll pull down a pick, you know.
Exactly. Like, that you know, the play in the end zone where he, like, knocked the ball away.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll have a spectacular play, but
– really good play.
He'll get beat pretty easily a handful of times.
That's elite athleticism, making that play. Like, not a lot of guys can do that. But also, he should not be getting beat by that guy at all, ever. If he is –
well, can you – where do you guys attribute the D-line? I mean, they didn't really get much pressure, but, I mean, they weren't really having too many deep drops.
Yeah, the pressure, though, I mean, the Stanford quarterback was throwing it. He was catching and throwing. So
yeah.
That's like when you played the air raid. It's like, well, you're not going to get a lot of sacks. They just catch and throw. They weren't great. That is on them. I mean, that's
–
they weren't great.
I was underwhelmed for sure.
But like,
Jordan Scott, I expected to be better than he is right now. Like, you know, a couple of years ago, looking at the way he was then, looking at where he is now, he hasn't really progressed much.
Well, are they double teaming him? And it's
but he's just a plugger. I mean, I don't expect him to, you know, be a disruptor.
But is this the linebacker's fault for these plays, or is that the line?
If you listen to the linebackers post game, they blamed Matt Tuatia blamed it on himself. He said he called a shitty game.
Okay,
I'm just throwing that out there. That could 100% be a starting linebacker taking the bullet for a terrible performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they weren't good against the run. Nope. They just were not good against the run.
They were not. A lot of it had to do with the backers, like what we were talking about. They're just taking terrible angles.
I mean, I guess we've been talking about it for like, you know, 10 minutes now that The Oregon defensive line just didn't set the tone.
Right.
But speaking of toner.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's how. That's definitely how you just lead into it here.
Just Jet Toner, my man. Fourth year senior, 0-4. Woof. That was rough.
So he had missed, like, in his whole career, it was like 6 or something.
Missed 3 years, total. Yeah.
And he missed, like, 4 in one game. After the second one, you're like, oh, no. Like, I am actually starting to feel bad for this person. Like, this is not going to be a good night for you. I hope you don't have a chance to, like, atone for it and make up for it. But man, like, please make one of these. Like, please just make one. And at least he made his extra point.
when they trotted him out for the fourth, I was like, David Shaw, what, David?
No, David, I see what you're trying to do. I see what you're trying to do.
What are you doing? He's not making it. I don't care where he's kicking it from. He is not making this kick. What are you doing?
By the way, the first one was way off. Like, we all should have known after that first one. Like, he pushed that so far right. Oh, man.
Oh, well, at least they were trying to help him out by saying he was kicking the laces for all the other ones.
Yeah, the Finkel is Einhorn, man. Yeah. Finkel is Einhorn.
Einhorn is Finkel.
Yep. And I made a point to pay attention to that, too, because it was like when I was watching their replay, like the highlights. Two of them were laces in, and he kicked them right on the laces. But the other two, like, those were perfectly fine, and he shanked those two. So, but I think Herbstreit said it, like, it's totally a mental thing at some point. Like, you could see it in his body language. What? After two,
you're fucked.
Yeah, you could see it. He's like, oh, like, there's no way. Like, somebody needs to talk to him. Like, I would hope somebody, like, that's the thing about being a kicker is you're kind of on an island, so.
Like King was saying, why have him kick that fourth one?
Yeah. So, well, they're trying to get some confidence going into the rest of the season.
Or he's
now, because now he's missed 4, and he is fucked. And, you know, like, he is a senior.
He might have quit football.
So, in fairness, like, just overall, David Shaw did not have a great day. Deciding special teams.
No.
Like, when you punt from the opponent's 33 in the second half.
No.
I don't care if it's 4th and 33. Why are you punting from, like, the 33?
Especially college. They are about 80% kicking in the end zone. So your net on your punt is...
Yeah, you're expecting them to kick it from, like, by the time he steps up, what, like the 38?
Yeah.
Of course it's not going to go well.
I think, like, we can safely say David Shaw, like, really screwed himself by not going to the NFL when he had the opportunity. Because a few years ago, like, there were legit talks about him going to the NFL.
See, I disagree.
Possibly being a head coach.
I disagree because he's making, like, $6 million a year. And that offense that he runs in the NFL, he'd be fired already.
And there's, like, no pressure to win at Stanford.
Oh, he's never leaving the job unless he wants to. I mean, he's never going to get fired, barring, you know.
He wasn't going to get paid more in the NFL than he is now. And look at what his old boss is doing. You know, I know it's in college, but, like, that whole just offense that they run just isn't working in college, and it definitely wouldn't work in the NFL now.
That's fair.
I get what you're saying. He's – that chance for him to go is gone forever.
Yeah, like
that is gone.
If that was his aspiration, then that has passed him by.
Yes, 100%. I think he's content, though.
Yeah, I would be. I mean, like, you and I would be, but, you know, football coaches are different human beings, you know? So, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. Any other takeaways from this game?
It was the offensive line. I didn't know who any of them were, but they played okay,
right? Like, they kind of started to come around. So Ryan Walk started at center. Like, the kid from Sheldon who just got his scholarship, like, a couple weeks ago, started at center and was apparently named, like, the Pac-12 Offensive Lineman of the Week, even though, you know, there were only, like, 2 games or whatever, 3 Pac-12 games or whatever. But that's pretty good. Like, that's – I mean –
props to him, I guess. Like, that's
right. I saw some video of the right tackle blowing some people up. I don't couldn't pronounce his name either.
Yeah.
Oh, the very dramatic video.
Yeah.
And like Marvel music as he's ragdolling people.
and he's just making like random cut blocks and, you know, just pushing a guy out to the side. Yeah, it's a good block.
He's getting to like a DB and like a small linebacker. Yeah. And doing his job and just manhandling.
Yeah, just doing his job. He did a good, like, he was serviceable. Yeah. Like, that's what the highlights were. Like, Sewell, like, the thing that set Sewell apart is he would absolutely obliviate, like, he would destroy people. And so, like, his highlight tapes were actually highlight tapes. This one was,
Well, did I see it right?
No, he had some sick ones where he just took a D-lineman and just shoved them one hand. Let's not sell the guy short. Mm. None of us know his name. But
the guy, I know. Yeah. That's what no, that's a thing. Rest of the season, he's known as the guy.
He's just the guy.
Yeah, okay. Everybody else gets their name, he's the guy.
That they didn't have a single penalty on the offensive line? Is that right? Because I didn't have a hold or a false start, which...
I don't remember any, but I also wasn't really paying attention to that, so... Yeah. Hey, I would hope so. Mirabal and Cristobal, like, that's Cristobal's thing.
I will say before we kind of wrap up the Oregon talk is Oregon scored 5 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. They had 9 possessions. So in a weird, it's Stanford. Those games are always weird. If they had scored 1 more touchdown to make it 42-14, they scored on, that would be 6 of 9. They scored on 5. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, if Oregon scores on more than 50% of their possessions all year, they're going to be really good.
Yep.
Yeah. Plus the missed field goal,
Well, gosh.
Should have been more points there before, but yeah.
Boy. Yeah, I thought we hit a bottom of field goal kickers in 2012. I really thought that when Stanford walked out victors of Autzen Stadium in 2012, we wouldn't see a worse Oregon kicker. I think it's been we're now at the bottom. We don't need to mention his name. He's a college kid. I hope he gets his degree and works in finance for 50 years. he is
with the exception of the Washington State game last year.
Pull that last kick up. 3 quarters of the way through, that shit's missing. There was a change of wind.
Well, Gus from the gods got it there.
Let's see. Mala Asala Almave Laulu is Oregon's right tackle. The guy. So just so we got to say it once, and then the rest of the way everybody knows who we're talking about. So the guy. Okay, so that's a nice transition into our bets from last week, because I nailed that fucking game, by the way.
Well, so did I.
Get into that.
Let's see. The numbers from last week. King coming in last place. He was 1-2 with 1 point.
Damn shame. Which one did he get?
He got the Oregon game.
The Oregon game, okay, yeah.
Yep. Chipper did not come out to play for him. Did not help out.
Chipper Jones.
And
his boy Charles Kelly.
Right. I came in second place with 2 points, but I only went 1-1 because one of my picks, the game got canceled.
Didn't play, yeah.
So I got my star pick with the Ducks, and Braga wins it 2-1 with 3 points.
You're damn right.
I have a little asterisk next to this that I'm supposed to laugh at you guys for because you both picked the Beavers. So scoffs to you guys for picking the Beavers.
That's fair. Well, we had no idea what Oregon State or Washington State was going to be.
Yeah, it's still game one.
Game one pandemic star over here, and we have 1-1 just scoffing at people. Oh, I knew all along. Uh-huh. I've seen pandemic ball before. I know how this is going to go.
I knew exactly what was going to happen.
Well, I like to start, guys. I'm okay with it. Let's go.
I think we're skipping the most important call of the entire week. There was a point in the third quarter of ASU-USC where I left my house and said, final score, ASU 27, USC 28.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was the final score.
You called that? You said that on Twitter?
I did.
Get out of here.
I did.
Wow.
Check the tape. Check the tape.
Yes. Check that timestamp.
I did. I had people scoffing at me. They're scoffing.
I would hope they would take that back and give you credit where it's due afterwards. Because the way USC won that game is like stupid. Truly, truly ridiculous.
My whole thing was, before we get on to more important stuff, I've seen ASU play football. There's no way they were going to finish that game out.
Yeah.
It's ASU.
That's fair. But it's also USC, so I don't know.
You don't just walk into the Coliseum in front of zero people and come out with a win.
Right. Right. That's a really usual feeling for USC. Like, oh, this feels like a home game. Yeah, okay. Because there's nobody who goes to USC games, and their stadium seats like 110,000 people.
They've actually
downsized it, right?
I think it's just barely over 70 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so to this week, I guess, then.
Well, I guess I got my notes that –
Because we decided to change up the format a little now, right?
But from last week, you were all over Colorado winning straight up,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't pick it, so you didn't get the extra point for that.
Okay.
On to this week, new format. Because of me getting fucked and having a game canceled, didn't get any points, we are going to pick all the Pac-12 games.
Yeah.
And one bonus game of my choosing.
I like
the same format. They're all with 1 point, except for one of the games is your star game.
So we haven't had any cancellations yet, right? Like it's Thursday, like nothing.
I just saw the Beaver player just popped. They said they're still playing, but we'll see.
Yeah, okay. All right. By the way, have you guys, real quick, like have you guys, like what's the closest you've been to COVID so far? Like, if you had, like, a family member get it or, like nothing? That's rad. Last week I had a coworker get it. And so I had to, like, quarantine, like, do the whole – I haven't been able to see my kid in, like, a week and stuff like that. Test results, I'm negative, which is dope. I found that out today. But it's like, man, we have gone a really long time without actually having anybody we know get that shit. Like, that's – like props to us, and then with my fucking coworker. Anyway, I probably should.
My girlfriend's best friend got it right at the beginning while she was in Europe. Okay, but, you know, that was in like March.
So yeah,
I don't fully count that.
Yeah. Okay.
But all right, on to
the that was it. I just was curious.
All right, so first game, we're back with the USC Trojans at Arizona. USC 13.5. Point favorite.
USC.
He's taking USC. Yeah. I'm taking Arizona.
13.5 is a lot of points, man.
I'll take USC too. Yeah, USC was only laying 10.5 last week at home.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. All right. Next game, we got Colorado at Stanford. Stanford's 6.5 point favorite.
I got Colorado.
Stanford.
I'm just going to hammer Colorado all season.
Good luck.
I will say, I'm pretty sure, I thought I saw today too that the Stanford quarterback did test negative.
It was a false positive.
So I'm pretty sure he's playing this week and the receiver.
False positives, man. Like that happened with the Niners too last week. And their top receivers, like Trent Williams at left tackle, had to sit out that game, and they were false positives. Like, oh, as if they're not, like, hurting already.
But I'm taking Colorado as well with you.
Nice.
All right. Next game, we got Cal versus ASU. ASU, 3.5 point favorite.
We have not seen Cal yet.
We have not seen Cal. We'll see ASU. If Cal plays, too.
Hmm.
I got ASU as well.
I'm going to go Cal.
Ooh.
My gut is telling me something about Cal. They're probably going to lose by like 35, but you know, we'll see.
All right. Then we got Utah at UCLA. Utah, the favorite, 2.5.
2.5 seems low, doesn't it?
I'm going to say UCLA.
Yeah.
Utah hasn't played a game.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think UCLA is good. Mm-hmm. I can't name a player on Utah, so I'm going UCLA.
Like, UCLA's quarterback is really, really talented. He just makes
he's
a
not whole that good.
he makes a whole bunch of really dumb plays too.
Yes, he does.
So who the hell knows what you're going to get from week to week? I got Utah.
I'm taking Utah as well. Yeah. All right.
Let's just set a tone. This sure. is for the betting on Utah is fool's gold in the end. I'm just letting you guys know that.
Yeah.
At the very, you know, eventually you'll see the light because Utah is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I agree with that too, but I think UCLA is just.
Yeah, UCLA.
They're gonna find a way to lose every game. Yeah. That's their plan.
Yep.
All right, we got one of the big matchups of the week. We got the Beavs at Washington. Huskies 13.5 point favorites.
I got Washington.
I have Washington as well as my star pick of the week.
Ooh, there you go.
Huskies.
Man, 13.5 again is a humongous number.
I'll go OSU. Just to try and pick up a cheap point.
I could see that.
Another little asterisk next to that.
Oh, by the way, Utah is my my two pointer or whatever.
Oh, the Utes are for you. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Now we come.
Stanford's mine. They're my two-point lock.
All right. I'll save the Ducks for last.
They're playing a team coached by Carl Durrell. Like, let's go.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go with the game I picked this week with a lot of the actual good games getting canceled. We're going with the bottom feeder game. We're going Penn State at Nebraska.
Our non-con game. Love it.
Penn State -2.5.
Penn State is so bad. Like, when did Penn State get so bad? Like, have I missed something? Because they're like 0-3 now, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. Wow.
I think Nebraska might be 0-1. Well, now they're 0-2.
Yeah, they're 0-2.
0-2.
I'm going Nebraska.
So Penn State's a 2.5 point favorite?
Yep.
I think Penn State may be in quit mode.
Where I'm at as well. I'm taking Nebraska as well.
I am picking Penn State for the opposite reason there. Because if Penn State goes to 0-4, like –
Burn the town down kind of scenario.
Yes. Exactly that.
All right. Then last game, we got our Ducks. 9.5 point favorite against the Cougs.
Want a little fun little Duck Cougar betting factoid?
Yes, please.
Sure.
Washington State has covered spread
nine
out of the last 10 times.
Yeah. I like 9.5 is too big for this. Like Washington State, like even though they like Leach isn't there anymore, their offense still is their offense. I think I got Washington State just to cover, not to win. But I think it's like a touchdown game. I think it's like 7.
I got Wazoo as well, and I thought I was seeing pictures of a bunch of snow up in the Palouse.
Yes, sir.
And that weather's not going to be changing much by Saturday.
Still going to be cold. Still going to be the Palouse.
Oregon. I'm going Oregon. Some like ugly like 12-point win.
Okay. I can see that.
Unnecessary field goal at the end to make our kicker feel okay about himself.
My thing is if Oregon can't do damage against a true freshman quarterback and a backup running back and it's an indictment on them. So I'm throwing the bar up a little medium high.
You got faith. All right, Homer, I see you.
Have you ever picked Oregon to cover, Alex?
What?
Have you ever picked Oregon to cover?
Have I ever picked Oregon to cover? Yeah, I picked them to fucking – that was my two-pointer last week, fool.
I said they were going to dominate Stanford, like, by a lot, and sure enough, they did. Go figure. Weird. Get out of here. I'm not pessimist all the time anymore. What was your two-pointer, Ski?
Mine was Huskies.
Oh, okay. That's right. That's right. Man, to cover the 13.5. Okay.
It's the Beavs, man.
Yep. Yep. All right. So seeing as it is Coug week, I got Washington State trivia to end the podcast. Who is going to go first? I do not care.
Who won last week?
Stanford trivia?
I think King must have won that. King loves
it. Hang on. I still got it here. Let's see.
Stanford.
Yeah, it was King last week. All right, you go first.
All right.
Start off with the hard-hitting one. What is the name of Washington State's mascot?
Butch.
Can you give me the full name?
Butch T. Cougar?
You got it!
Butch the Cougar.
Attaboy. Yeah, T totally stands for the. That's awesome. All right, Ski. Who has the most wins as head coach?
They're squirrely, like Leach somehow has it.
No, it is not Mike Leach. Mm-hmm. Your options, King. Babe Hollingberry, Mike Price, or Mike Leach?
I'll say Mike Price because he was there forever.
It is Babe Hollingberry.
Wow.
No way either of you guys are going to guess
this. Who?
So he was let's see. Let me see here. Oh, yeah. So Babe Hollingberry was just like there for a while in the 70s or something like that. Washington State's first coach was in 1894. His name was William the Tire Goodyear. I just thought everybody would like to hear that fact. He went 1-1 in his only season. The school was called the Washington Agricultural School, or no, the Washington Agricultural College and School of Science. So why don't you call it Washington? Okay, anyway. All right. Let's see. Where am I here? Okay, King. This is King, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Who is the all-time leader in passing yards and passing touchdowns in Cougs history?
Oh. I'll just say Connor Halliday because that's just what I can remember.
That is incorrect. Ski, your options. Jason Gesser, Alex Brink, or Luke Falk?
My initial thing was to go with Gesser.
It is Luke Falk.
Luke Falk? Jesus.
Yep. All right, Ski. Nick Rolovich was hired to be the Cougs head coach this season after Mike Leach left for the SEC. The C, by the way, stands for COVID. Where was Rolovich the head coach the previous four seasons?
He seems like he would have been coaching at Montana.
Mm.
Oh.
That is incorrect.
That is very incorrect.
You know the answer, King?
Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii, like the opposite of Montana.
The opposite of that.
Yeah. Let's see. So interesting note, by the way, as a player, he went to Hawaii too. He replaced Timmy Chang in the 2001 season after Chang got hurt. Rolovich had three straight 500-yard passing games, ended with 34 touchdowns, set school records with 8 TDs and 543 yards against BYU, went on to lead the Rain Fire to a World Bowl.
I loved NFL Europe.
Oh, so good.
My Dusseldorf Dragons, baby. World League.
Then went on to play for the San Jose Sabercats, Arizona Rattlers, and the Las Vegas Gladiators in the Arena League.
Oh, those Rattlers, man. They were pesky back in the day.
One of his first coaching jobs was the quarterback's coach at the City College of San Francisco. Guess which quarterback he coached there.
Jeremiah Masoli. Knew that because I knew he went to that community college. That was not Rolovich territory in my brain.
That is good information. All right, let's see. So we are to ski now, right? Or is it King? No, because King stole that one.
Yeah.
King, which quarterback set the all-time NCAA record for passing yards in a single game when the Cougs lost 60-59 to Cal in 2014?
Connor Halliday.
That is correct.
Hey, eventually.
You're bound to get it one of these times. 3-0. You got some catching up to do here, Ski. All right. Everyone knows, Ski, about the Apple Cup. But the Cougs have another rivalry game against a non-conference opponent called the Battle of the Palouse. Who is their opponent?
Eastern Washington.
Battle of the Palouse. That is incorrect. What's the answer, Ken?
Idaho.
Idaho Vandals.
It is Idaho. Yep.
Their campuses are like 7 miles apart.
Let's see.
There's eight a bike trail apart. You can take.
8 miles apart.
I've been on it. Yeah, I've been on it. Yeah. And if anyone wants to know, Moscow, Idaho, is a lot cooler of a town than Pullman. And that bar is really low.
Yes, it is. Washington State leads that series 72-16 and 3.
Oh,
they've only played twice since 2007. They were supposed to play this year, of course, before Comrade Kate ruined the Pac-12.
How much of a rivalry if they don't play it in a 15 years?
But then again, they've played it like 90 times as well. So, yeah.
That's the thing with tradition there. They could get a free win every season, and all you have to say is tradition.
Yes. Well, maybe not every year, because every other year they might have to travel to the Kibbe Dome. Ooh. You don't just walk into the Kibbe Dome and come out with a dub.
Throw the records out in the Battle of the
Throw the records out.
Oh, man. All right. All right, Ski, I got one for you. This is Ski, right?
No.
No, this is King again? No.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to pick a more difficult one then.
Connor Halliday.
Which JC transfer set the school's single season records with 1,900 rushing yards and 16 rushing touchdowns in
2005? I don't know his name, but I think he played in the NFL for the Browns.
He did. Yep.
Jerome Harrison.
Yes.
Wow.
What a fucking blowout.
Whoa.
5-0. Wow.
Well.
Yeah. So in 2009, he broke Jim Brown's single game rushing record for the Browns, 286 yards and 3 touchdowns. Still ranks 3rd all time in NFL history for single game rushing yards. His career ended because he had a brain tumor and became a quadriplegic, like no joke.
That got dark.
Well, he apparently has since like recovered a little bit.
He
can walk now at least. Okay. Yeah, that's why his NFL career ended. He was like going along pretty well. Got a brain tumor. Sucks. All right, so we might as well go through the rest of them. What are the official colors?
Crimson and gray.
Yes. 6-0, King.
Win the day for Crimson and Gray.
There you go. There have been 14 Cougs picked in the first round of the NFL draft. Only one has gone first. Who is it?
Drew Bledsoe.
7-0, King. In
it's like one of the few I would have gotten here. These last two.
In 2001, Oregon had arguably its biggest win of that season against Washington State. Ontario Smith, Mo Morris combined for 400 yards rushing. Ontario had 285 of those. Joey Harrington was Oregon's quarterback. He didn't have anything to do but hand the ball off. Washington State's quarterback had one last play to win, but Wesley Mallard knocked the ball away, and the Ducks won. Who was the quarterback in that game for Washington State?
Jason Kegel.
No. Who?
It's a guy. I feel like Jason Gesser is the easy one, but
that is also the answer.
But they have
you, even in trying to throw it, you still got it. So I'm writing this down.
Maybe it's Matt Kegel. I know they had a Kegel. I know that.
I feel like you just want to say the word Kegel.
That's what it comes down to there. I've never even heard of that guy if he does actually exist.
Kegel?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think he was the quarterback when they beat Oregon at Autzen in, like, 2003.
Kegel? Like K-E-E-G-L-E?
I think it was just K-E-G-E-L.
Like the vagina exercises?
I'm not going there, but...
Whoa! You got something against vagina exercises? Hey, you know, vagina health is very important.
Hey. Kegel exercises aren't just for the ladies.
No, it's for your core, man. Come on. Yeah.
Matt Kegel, 6'6", 227 pounds of steel from Haver, Montana.
I almost missed that, by the way. Kegel exercises are not just for the ladies. Right.
Yeah. Guys, you gotta let that one go by.
I mean, you're kind of slow up on it. I mean, you missed JFK last week by about 3 seconds.
I know. All right, guys. I guess that's it. Oregon and Washington State. It's probably going to come down to a dumb kicker again. We'll see. If it's going to be snowing, by the way, throwback to that game I was just talking about. Ontario Smith ran for a billion yards. Sean Dollars runs for 300 yards this week.
But
we don't have an Ontario Smith suiting up for us to do.
He ain't walking through that door.
Before we break away from Cougars doing Kegel talk,
sure.
I just got to say, we see you and we hear you. We're just really bad listeners at ever actually airing the corrections.
Oh, yeah.
We do talk about them.
We do.
We do. We just never remember them.
Oh, man.
Did we actually have some corrections again?
Yeah, we did.
We can do it right now.
Same for the last one. No one's listening. Perfect.
Yeah, that works.
Next week, we'll work a minute. I just want to say, we see you and we hear you.
This is professional podcasting, broadcasting. We're teasing it to next week. We're teasing the corrections. <That'd be nice. laughs>